My Discord and stuff.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? Welcome to today's episode of Cartridge to Cloud. I'm joined by Ginger Flame. I'm LightShifterX. We're going to get going on some cool topics that we got for today, kind of going over some of the latest and greatest news of the week. Our topics today include the Ubisoft Forward announcements, D23 announcements with the new Marvel games, which some may or may miss opportunities there. Also, we're going to be covering the Twitch host removal feature coming up on October 3rd. So yeah, let's kind of dive right into it.
Let's go.
So Ubisoft Forward got quite a bit of news coming out of it. A lot of Assassin's Creed Valhalla news, different Assassin's Creed series news, I think. Part of it is AC Valhalla is getting one final update. AC Infinity is something entirely different than what we originally thought or were told. It sounded like it was like a new MMO or online, like, you know, live service game, but apparently they're kind of treating it more like a platform. Division 2 gets a lot of different stuff. Going on this, we got from like the Ubisoft Forward today. What are some of the things, Ginger, that you seem to like, I guess, like or dislike about some of the news that we got today?
Right. So, I mean, we're definitely seeing a lot of these gaming platform companies, right? They're starting to come out with like their own service subscription type of services. And I feel like this is another one that's being thrown in, right? So I'm excited for it because you're going to be able to get all the Assassin's Creed download content, even though that they're not going to be doing it. So I know that it's going to be coming along with this plan. And they're going to be having a bunch of different type of games that are coming along with it as well. I think one of the bigger ones that they're talking about is that Mario Plus Rapid ones, which I know that we've talked a lot about too. But is it really going to be worth it? Is it going to be worth the cost? Once again, it's just like another subscription that's being thrown out there to the world. So is it something that we're going to continue to play? I am a huge Assassin's Creed fan. So I've played them all. I love them all. They're great. So I do like the fact that Ubisoft is coming out with something like this. I just don't know if I'm going to, you know, take the time to pay for a subscription when I can just pay for the game, right? Does that kind of make sense? So I'm excited for it. We'll definitely see how it goes, though. But especially when Assassin's Creed Infinity, I mean, it's just really going to see what direction it's going to come with. But I think that's their major thing that they're kind of pushing towards right now, besides the Mario Plus Rapids. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Like, Ubisoft has definitely changed into a company that I'm not sure, like, people are looking forward to their games as much as they used to. I mean, like, yeah, you could say, like, 5 years ago, you could go and say, be like, cool, I'm looking forward towards The Division. I'm looking forward to whatever new Siege content that's coming out. Even Siege has kind of gone a little silent on odd things lately. Like, there hasn't really been any big news about Siege in quite some time. AC, of course, has been in the news every 2 years. They release a new game, which has kind of been their cadence of releasing everything, and we're kind of on par with that, right? With Assassin's Creed Mirage that's coming out, which is set in an Afghanistan timeline. I wasn't quite sure. I have to look it up and see what time era that was going into, but still something very different. And then you had other games like Skull and Bones, which have been what was announced almost 4 years ago, I think now. And yep, it's been reskinned, rebranded, and it's coming off, you know, this whole other, like, different thing, which is, I thought was kind of interesting. And they had, like, an insiders program, you could sign up for that. And then you had other games, like, that came out, I think it was either earlier this year or last year, I think it was last year, Riders Republic, which kind of, it made a splash when it first got there, but it didn't do anything after that, really. Like, anything that's big or noticeable. But that also got announced for new content that's coming up soon. I want to be a free update for everybody. And then the other one I thought that was kind of interesting going on was Division 2, which is also another kind of a weird one. They're going on their Year 5 DLC, which they just announced. And for some people, the game's been dead. Some people, it hasn't been. I personally enjoy the game. I think it's a lot of fun. I think there's lots of content to be played there. And just with, like, the way that the game plays, it's just so much fun.
Well, and, like, a lot of people are just starting to find out, and they're starting to really play it because of all the DLC content that is out there. And therefore, most of the bugs are fixed, which I love. And that's hard to find in any video game these days. Most of them, right?
Yeah.
Because most of the time, these guys just throw the crap out there, and then it's not working right from day one. So most of the bugs are out there. They got a lot of content in it. It's great gameplay. And of course, and I've always been a huge fan of Division. I haven't played a lot of the Division 2, but I've seen a lot of people playing it lately, and it just makes me want to get into it. So I am looking forward to that.
Yeah, and that's actually one game I think we're going to have to definitely stream some more on the channels here, right, just to kind of get, or in our, even our own channels, like, mess around with more Division. I mean, like, the game itself has, like, tons and tons of hours of content that you could play.
Oh, lots. Yeah, and lots.
I've always enjoyed it personally because it's just been a game you could get in, you could grind some, you could have, you know, it's challenging enough to where you're not, like, you know, throwing your controller or keyboard off the desk and everything, you know, but it's been interesting. But then they have their offshoots now, which Division Heartland was announced, I think, 2 years ago or 3 years ago, something like that.
And three. Now, I think it was three.
Yeah, yeah, I think it was 3 years ago. And then you have, you know, that's finally gotten some more news after it's gone quiet for probably close to a year now. And then they announced another one, which is the Division Resurgence, which is something completely different. Mm-hmm. If you think it's repetitive, he says, wait till Assassin's Creed stuff. Tom Clancy's Resurgence is an upcoming mobile game, which is another thing we're going to... It's going to be a reoccurring theme this show, is the mobile game thing. Keep in mind.
Dude, it's everywhere now. Mobile game is everywhere. I mean, we're seeing it over at Activision. Now we're seeing it with Ubisoft. I mean... Obviously, we've seen it with Eve, you know? I mean, we're seeing it with every major game that's out there. Hell, I even think that World of Warcraft, I mean, in my opinion, I think that's going to go mobile one day. I mean, mobile gaming is just where it's at these days. And to be honest, I think it's because it's an easy way to make money.
Well, because
for these gamers.
It makes it easy, like, when they go and you're like, okay, cool, I'm going to go and spend $5 on this thing here and there. And then you do it over the time you own the game. Like, for example... I'm not privy or not innocent of any of these things. I went and I played Marvel Strike Force, and I probably dumped close to $100 into that game.
Oh yeah, no, there's mobile games that I've played that I've dumped too much money into that I no longer play. I mean, hell, my very first one was that Bejeweled game. I mean, it was one of the first mobile games out there, dude. You know, and I freaking put so much money into that thing.
Yeah. Pokemon Go gets the pass, the launch of the game that was closest to came to world peace. I mean, yeah, Pokemon Go was like, it was a special time in gaming. And I think that was like the original idea and concept and functionality of it was like the coolest thing that anybody had ever gotten to. Now, not to say that some of the later updates aren't great, but it's definitely lost its appeal as much, which is actually something we're going to be talking to about later in the Marvel updates, because that's come up in topic too.
Well, I mean, before we get off the mobile gaming, and I do have to say this, I am actually looking forward to the Assassin's Creed Jade, which is going to be on mobile, I believe, if I'm correct. So that's going to be cool, because like I said, and I'm an Assassin's Creed person, so that is going to be pretty awesome. Like, I'm going to be able to play Assassin's Creed on my phone? That just blows my mind, man.
Oh, no, you get yourself a backbone, and then you can play any of this stuff. I mean, just like you were rediscovering earlier that we could get the... Xbox Game Pass Cloud, xCloud.
Yeah, on your which phone. I just re-signed up for $1.
Right there. You just get a hook up for
$1
controller.
All right.
Bam, there you go.
I just just blows my mind how all these video game companies are beginning to really focus on mobile gaming a lot. Now, is that going to hurt us down the road? In my opinion, I think it's going to, because it's not going to create that long-lasting content that we've known for years, years, and years, in my opinion. For one, phones get upgraded too often, right? It's not like PC, PlayStation, or like where you can buy the console and have it for 5 years. You know what I mean? I mean, the phone, people update their phones yearly, you know? They spend thousands of dollars on this. And now you got to make sure that they work and update. But anyway, so that's kind of where I see mobile gaming. It's been a huge thing. It's starting to become even bigger, and it's just going to cost a lot of money for us as players to continue to play, because now on top of the subscription fee, right, to play on the platform, now you also got to buy the in-game items, because everything's usually paid, you know, it's like pay to play type things nowadays, especially, or to get the good gear, right? You have to pay to play. That's just the way it is these days, because most of these companies are going subscription based. But I'm looking forward to it. Let's see how well they do it. That's the big thing, is how well they put it out there is really going to determine on how well it's going to be accepted.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and then going on the next piece of news, staying on the mobile topic, is Rainbow Six Mobile also is coming.
Right.
Announced more alpha tests coming up for that. And then on top of that, like the other one we've kind of known about, like there's been little hints of it here and there, is the Netflix partnership, where they're going to be coming out with some games, and they kind of announced a little bit more on that, where it's going to be Valiant Hearts 2, Mighty Quest, and then some a new unannounced Assassin's Creed game. They'll also have a TV show that'll tie into it, which will be something interesting. So I'm
curious. Yeah, I mean, it's just all going mobile, man. I keep on saying it on today's stream, but it's all going mobile. And it's just like, wow, can my phone hold all these games? So now we're going to start to have phones that have to have like 1 terabyte drives in them in order to even start playing these games, because then you have to delete it or back it up or whatever. It's just like, wow.
I mean, look at the new iPhone announcement, for example, in terms of phones. Like they got a 1 terabyte update for their iPhones. Then you have Android phones that you could get up to, I think it's 500 gigs on it, but you can also upgrade it with a micro SD card into whatever you want, basically. I think it's up to 2 terabytes now, I think you can get onto it.
That is crazy. And actually, Garrick made something like the Asus ROG phone. I've been looking at that for the past year because it looks, I mean, it's a little mini game console, but have you seen it?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, it's pretty cool. Like, I'm probably going to have to upgrade to one of those just to be able to play all of these new games that are coming out for mobile. I am excited though that they're partnering up with Netflix, because Netflix makes good content. So if they are partnering up with them, for the most part, now they know how to make movies or shows, right?
Yeah.
Can they keep it, but can they keep that same type of design and effort into a video game? Now they do cancel pretty quick, and I will say that, Garrick. So they do cancel pretty quick. So if they feel like the game isn't making them money, oh, they're going to shut down that game so quick, because that's just what they do.
Well, it's like another thing, too. I mean, the Netflix gaming thing has been out for quite a while now. I mean, how many people have actually paid attention to it or even know it's there?
So, I mean, but have they really pushed it, though? Because maybe they're trying to make sure that it's going to make money, or that, like, it's going to be accepted by their current viewership, right? I mean, that's just the way that it is.
Yeah, I don't even think it's been pushed all that much. I mean, people know that it's out there, and then they've been announcing games, but like, there's no real promo on how to get into it. Like, somebody actually, in fact, I had to go watch a tutorial on how to get to their next Netflix gaming stuff. Apparently, it's within
their app. There, like, once. I mean, but that's it. And I've been there once. So.
But, yeah, getting back to the news.
Trackmania
is going on to consoles at some point. Last gen and current gen. So that'll be another thing. Rocksmith Plus is getting a new update. I think that was originally an older game. I think they're just updating it and pushing more stuff to it. Just Dance is, there's more stuff coming for Just Dance. Of course, there's a yearly title for that. Assassin's Creed Mirage, which was rumored earlier in the week, they finally confirmed all that one. There's an Assassin's Creed documentary also coming out. Assassin's Creed Valhalla, which is probably one of the better rated Call of Duties of recent generation, is getting its final chapter, which will be its last DLC. It's going to wrap up Ivor's story, which is sad and unfortunate. The other new fun one is the Assassin's Creed codename Jade, which is one set in frugal Japan or China.
One that's going on mobile, right?
No, that's the new mainstream one after Mirage.
Oh, after Mirage. Okay, gotcha. Okay.
But yeah, so that one will be in 215 BCE, codename Jade. You'll be able to parkour all over the Great Wall in characters of your own design, which would be a first. For that one. And of course, like we talked about with the mobile game, there's the new Netflix show that'll go along with it. And then there's a couple little miscellaneous other Assassin's Creed things. Oh, there was one for Feudal Japan, sorry. It's Assassin's Creed codename Red. Very, very powerful shinobi fantasy. And then they didn't really release a whole lot other than, like, basically a trailer. Or not a trailer, an image of it.
Right. Once again, dude, I'm just looking forward to the Netflix and the Ubisoft partnership. Let's see where it goes. I hope it's one of the better partnerships out there. Yeah. You know, with Microsoft buying out Activision and all this old, you know, we'll see how this partnership lasts. Because is Netflix ready to get into the game industry is the big question I feel like that we're having right now. I don't know. We'll see what they do with Ubisoft and see where they go from there.
Yeah, so going on to that whole, we were talking about Infinity earlier, and it's as if they're using it as like a new platform, not necessarily like a new game itself.
Right.
With that, the things that are included in what they're saying on Infinity is Codename Red, which is the Fugle to Japan one, Codename Jade, which is the China-based one, the Netflix partnership, and then a new code name. This is Codename Hex, which is something they haven't, they didn't divulge too much into. But that's going to be part of, like, the Infinity platform.
Right? Right.
My camera froze, I think.
Sorry. Oh, yeah, I think it did.
There we go.
Mine's good.
There we go. So we got that working again. So you have like Codename Red, Codename Hex, Jade, and the Netflix partnership all going to be part of that whole Assassin's Creed Infinity deal. So that should be interesting to see how that all turns out ultimately.
Now, do you know if they came out with a cost yet for this subscription-based fee? Because it does say that they are going to be given a free month trial.
So they're giving a month trial on Ubisoft Plus, which allows access to all their current games, which is actually a pretty good thing. Like, if you haven't played a whole lot of like Ubisoft titles and you're really curious on how to get into it, like, I mean, it includes the Far Cry games, the Anno games, Assassin's Creed. I mean, there's all tons of stuff on there. Rainbow Six Siege. And what's nice about the Ubisoft Plus is it always gives you the best edition of that game. Versus where, like, Game Pass only gives you the base edition of those games. So you get kind of, like, the full experience with all the bells and whistles of everything that you get from the Ubisoft library, which is great. So, like, if you're playing, for example, Division 2, and you want to jump into it and play it on the subscription instead of buying the game, bam, you could go and get that free trial and play Division 2 and get everything that's included with it, including all the, you know, the pre-order stuff and everything.
That is the one thing which I love about the subscription base, right? You know, just like with the Microsoft Pass and all that, is that you get to test out the games. And then if you really want it, then I like to. So I'm like a collector, right? And I want it in my library. Like, if I ever want to play it, I want to be able just to click play and go play it, not have to worry about logging into a subscription. But I like the idea that I can try out the game first and then I can actually play through it, see if I really want to own it myself. So I am really looking forward to this. I'm really probably going to do it just to try it out. So that way I can obviously give you guys really good news on these type of games as well. But then we'll go from there. But I really, really think that this is a great way to try out all of these Assassin's Creed. Because we're going to have all the Assassin's Creeds on there, right?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
All the Assassin's Creeds will be on there.
Yeah, so that's going to be awesome.
I mean, hey, and then if you wanted to jump into Division 2, there you go. Here's your time.
And that's what I'm going to do because I was getting bugged literally, I think it was last week or a week and a half ago from another viewer of mine. He's like, hey, you need to play this. You need to play this. I'm like, man, I just really haven't played Division 2 enough to really decide to buy it or not yet. So I'm definitely going to go ahead and probably do this subscription and then try it out.
I mean, hey, sure. You get a free month of it. Why not, right?
Right, exactly. It's just like my dollar sub that I just resubbed for the Microsoft thing, right? So
yeah. So speaking on that, we're going to be playing some Back to Blood right after this stream today to be able to dig into some of the new content for episode 2. I think it's episode or expansion pack 1 and 2. So we'll be digging into those expansions and checking out some of the new characters and whatnot.
Yeah, he's forcing me to play horror games, everybody, and I hate playing horror games. It's not
horror, though. It's zombies.
Dude, it's zombies, man. It's zombies, bro.
I mean, it's okay. I mean, people just hear you scream like a little girl. It'll be fine.
Probably. So stay tuned, guys. Don't leave.
So you really want to see Jinja go for it, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Up next, we've got the D23 event showcase, which previewed a whole ton of stuff from everything from Disney, Marvel, Star Wars, pretty much everything in between. But I want to say probably Marvel will have the biggest showing of just about everything in terms of this whole event. Going out first, we got a new release date for Marvel Midnight Suns, which I'm personally excited for. I love XCOM style games, but this is kind of like that with a new twist with the whole tactical card system, which I think is really fun. It was originally set to come out in March of next year. And then it's up to December 2nd. It's going to be coming out for all current gen and PC. No last gen, which is probably a good thing, I think, at this point. Some of the other two announcements were Avatar Frontiers of Pandora, which is, I think, is one we've heard of. It's like the Call of Duty style Avatar
first person shooter type. Yeah, right.
And then there's Avatar Reckoning, which is more of like an MMO. They also announced a new edition for the Lego Star Wars Skywalker Saga, Galactic Edition, which comes out with 30 new playable characters from the Lego Star Wars Skywalker Saga.
I'm looking forward to that one the most, to be honest. And I think it has all of the sagas in it, if I'm correct, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's like basically everything from the first, like all the nine movies.
Yeah, I will definitely probably play all those. I mean, that's awesome where you can play one game and it has all the sagas in it. And how many characters? It's like 20
over
30 or so?
Over 30 new ones added to whatever.
Over 30 new ones. Yeah, that is crazy. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm a huge Star Wars geek. So, I mean, obviously anything with Star Wars, I got to play. So.
Oh, absolutely. Midnight Suns, I'm really excited for. The Avatar stuff, like, it's weird. I mean, I've had mixed feelings on it. Like, I really liked Avatar when it first came out because it was something new and stuff, and it was, like, the new 3D, and it was, like, the coolest thing to see at the time. But now it's, like, they're trying to push Avatar like it's some big popular thing, but Avatar hasn't been relevant. Like, this, well, the blue skin people, blue people Avatar.
Right.
They haven't been popular in over a decade. And I don't know.
Like, yeah, but I think that they're trying to... Right, but and I really think that they're trying to build it up, right? And they're going to be releasing it after the movie's released. So, I mean, this is probably going to be one of the biggest movie money makers since what was the one that just came, which like Top Gun, right? I mean, it's going to be a pretty big deal. I mean,
probably
I'm a huge Avatar fan.
I don't. Huh? It's not going to break the original records, I don't think, though, because it's not. It doesn't
you really don't
shtick.
Think so?
Oh God, no, not even close.
Because oh, dude.
The first Avatar, the reason it drove that big back then was because of the 3D like pull for it. People wanted to see the 3D because it was the new, hot, and latest and greatest thing at the time. They're not. They're, I mean, they could do 3D in this one too, sure, because all the movie theaters are still capable of it. But I don't think it's going to be as big as people think it's going to be.
Yeah, but I think that they're going to, and there has to be some new technology or something out there that is going to be integrated within this movie that I feel like, and I'm kind of defending it, right? Because I think it's just going to blow up, and I think it's just going to be awesome because I love the original Avatar. So if it is going to be a crap movie, I don't think any of these games that we're talking about right now are going to do too well anyways. No, so no. That's my opinion,
and we'll go from there. Those. It rocks on the movies for sure.
Right. I mean, so it really does depend on how the movie does. But if anything, I will definitely probably try out the MMO version of it. I don't know about the others, just to see. But that's probably what I would try out myself.
Just wait till it's on Game Pass.
Game Pass, yeah, right.
Best deal in gaming. If anybody hasn't yet gotten it yet, it's wonderful.
Yeah, get the Game Pass.
So another one that was kind of interesting was Tron Identity. A lot of people were really excited about that, but the only details we really got that it's a new game that's a visual novel style. No gameplay or anything like that was shown, basically just a still image of it. The other one kind of going on the Marvel or the mobile front is all of the mobile announcements from this whole thing. Starting with one of them that I'm going to like criticize to no end because I think it's the dumbest thing in the world. Is the Marvel World of Heroes. I love Marvel. I love playing Marvel games. I love all that. But it's another game made by Niantic, which is the same company that makes Pokemon Go. And if you have followed Niantic and how they've done, they've only done well with Pokemon Go. They tried a Hogwarts version of the same thing, and it failed within 6 months. They shut it down already. So they're going to go and release a Marvel one, which is a bigger IP, granted, yes. But why would anybody care about playing a Marvel version of a Niantic game? It blows my mind.
So, and I'm a huge Marvel fan, right? So I was really sad that Disney actually bought the whole thing out, but I'm glad now because they've been doing decently. But if they're going to put this into a mobile game again, once again, we're talking about mobile gaming because that's just the direction of all these new games. I really don't know how well it's going to do. Especially by the same company that does Pokemon Go. So if they're going to make it to where they really need to get their heads out of the clouds and really focus on the people that are playing the game or that are going to be interested in playing the game, you need to focus on that core group first, right? So this is going to be the high or but the hardcore Marvel players or the Marvel TV or like the movie people. And you really need to focus on them and get their input about this game. And the question is, have they done that?
No.
I don't know. And if they haven't done that, guess what? They're just going off the top of their heads. Hey, we've done good in this way. We've done good in this way. Let's make money this way. So let's make sure that this is in this game. It's not going to do well if they don't get the input from the true Marvel fanatics that are out there and go, hey, you make sure this is how it works, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. It doesn't even have to be Marvel fanatics. Anybody who plays these games would be able to get some kind of feedback. But, I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Like, the Hogwarts one made sense because you could go and, like, close little, like, dark magic things and
right.
get the wraiths and all this other stuff over here, right?
Right,
this one
exactly.
makes no sense. Like, yeah, you could go fight whatever big bad group is controlling a stop or whatever, but they're using the exact same thing. So it's like, okay, what am I going to walk around and collect? What am I collecting in this whole thing?
Dude, that's because it's all about this, buddy. It's always been about that. It's always about that with Disney. And, you know, they are for-profit company, so I'm not bashing them about that. But sometimes if a company focuses too much on making money, the quality of product that they put out is not that good. I'm just saying.
I don't think this one's going to go anywhere, to be honest. It'll probably come out and do the exact same thing the Hogwarts one did. It'll
like
be
real 6 months and be gone?
It'll be big for a little while, and then it'll be done by the end of the year.
Right. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll definitely see. The other one was a new Black Panther Captain America game set in a World War II type era, which means it's probably not T'Challa that we're going to see as the Black Panther. It's going to probably be his dad or even grandfather, possibly.
I think it's probably going to be his grandfather would be my guess.
That's kind of where I was thinking. I think it would probably be his grandfather. They didn't really give any details on it, no name, no nothing. So I'm
kind of
curious.
Yeah, but they just kind of like announced the title, right? Is basically what it is.
No, not even a title. It's not. There was no title even included in it.
Oh, right.
It was
okay.
Just like a screenshot or a screen of it. So I was like, okay, well, that's, you know, that could be a cool thing. Then of course, going on like continuing with the mobile games talk, they announced more characters for Marvel Strike Force with a cool little trailer. The Disney Mirrorverse, which is another mobile game that's coming out. I'm trying to look that up real quick.
But the Mirrorverse one, I think, is more of like the is kind of like the Fortnite type style gameplay, though, isn't it?
No, this is the RPG. The mobile RPG.
Oh wait, it's okay.
Villains like Ursula, Hades, Oogie Boogie, Scar battling hordes of monsters. So it's like, okay. Basically.
I don't know.
And then what was the other? And then Marvel Snap, which is the new card game.
And I'm a huge card game player, so I might actually like that.
Yeah, that one might actually be good. It's a strategy game for mobile. But I think this is the one they announced this, I think, I want to say earlier this year. And did like a brief like showing of it, and they did the same thing for this one when they showed it off at D23. It's got a little bit of gameplay where it's just like a card battler system, which I mean most of the card battler systems, if you played Marvel Champions, which is the physical one, like that one's a great game for groups. It's a co-op game. You're basically fighting the board or a big villain or something or another, which is great. What was the other big one? Then, of course, they had Disney Dreamlight Valley, which has been out now. I think it just came out this past week, which is also in Game Pass, surprisingly. It's basically Disney's take on Animal Crossing, essentially. You can play with a bunch of different big characters from the Disney world.
Right. And which I was never a big fan of Animal Crossing, but a lot of people were. They all liked it. So, I mean, that actually might do. Yeah, I say, but that might be pretty good.
Yeah. Disney Speedstorm, which is kind of like Mario Kart, Disney's version of Mario Kart.
Now, I will probably play that, man, because I'm a huge freaking Mario Kart fan.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, those kind of games, I think, are pretty fun, like, getting their different takes on them. I mean, on Humble Bundle, they just had the Hot Wheels Unleashed that showed up on that bundle in August. And I gotta say, I tried it. Like, the Hot Wheels thing is pretty fun. Like, it's super cool to see that. And the gameplay.
I mean, but do you actually get to pick your cars and stuff like that? But that'll be really cool.
Yeah, you can unlock your cars and do all the different stuff. It's pretty rad, and they all have different stats on how they drive and all that fun stuff. So I thought that was pretty cool. Another one that kind of blew me away a little bit was Aliens Dark Descent, which I was really excited for when I first saw the original trailer back like months ago when they did it. And then they announced it was going to be, or changed their tune a little bit on it. It's in a squad-based RTS action strategy action game. And it doesn't, like, when you think Aliens, you don't think of an RTS. And I think it could be good, but it's always, like, the weird little animations going against, like, little stuff that goes on the screen. And it doesn't have the same appeal as it does, like, being, like, right in the game and going crazy and, like, fighting the stuff, you know, the way it...
Right, like in first-person view or something like that, right? Yeah, I mean, I love RTS games, so don't get me wrong, right? But Alien RTS, I don't know how well that's going to play out. I mean, there's a lot of great RTS games out there. But maybe they've done something new with this RTS. So, you know, we just have to wait for it to be released or like a beta or something, in other words, so we can actually see the gameplay of it.
Yeah.
But I think you're right, though. And I don't think it's going to do well as an RTS, and we'll see from there. So,
I mean, if you look back at even just the history of some of the recent, like, Aliens games that have come out, they, and even the Predator games for that matter, because they're kind of like parallel universes, right?
Right.
Like, none of them have done great. I mean, Predator Hunting Grounds was probably one of the biggest disappointments I've ever played in terms of a Predator game.
See, and I love the lore, though, between Alien and Predator, and they just kind of keep on coming out with these stupid... I mean, they're really confusing. Yeah. I mean, but they're really confusing. They really don't fit the timeline too well. They really don't talk about, you know, how the lore affects one other lore in between the games, movies, etc. And I feel like that's an issue with that. And I think that's what's going to continue happening with these games that they're making. So people are just going to get bored with them, or they're not going to understand what's happening, or they're not drawing in new people, right?
Yeah.
To get involved into it. And that's the big thing. That's why people create more video games, right? They try to retain what they, the player base that they have, but at the same try to draw in new people, because the more people you obviously have playing, the longer it's going to last. I mean, for example, look what's happening with our current game that I love to play. I'm not going to mention a name, you know, things like that. So.
Oh, yeah. I can see it being good if it ends up, the game itself ends up being good. Like, if the gameplay speaks for itself and it does something cool, sure. Like,
sure.
Going back to, like, one of my favorite Aliens and Predator game was basically, it was Aliens versus Predators versus Marines or Colonial Marines. It was, like, the Triforce PvP game you could play back, I think it was on PS3. Or an Xbox 360, and it was probably hands down like one of the best games that they ever made, because you could play all different types of Predators, you could play all different types of Colonial Marines, you could play all different types of Aliens, and you could go at it in three different teams, like kind of mosh pit style, and it was great. And the gameplay was solid. Oh my god, like it was hands down probably one of the best games that they've ever made. And they stopped supporting it because it didn't sell the way they thought it was. But I'm like,
well, that's because it was only being sold to the fanatics of Alien,
well, and
or it, Predator.
And it had a short story mode, which was probably one of the biggest downfalls of it. They didn't really,
right.
They gave you a campaign, like a short campaign for each one, but they were only like a few hours apiece, I want to say. If I remember right. I could be wrong. I'm totally wrong on that one, but I don't remember it being very long, because I think I beat like all three of them within like a weekend.
Well, the cool thing which I'm going to like about this one, I feel like, is that you're going to be able to change like your squad tactics and things like that from mission to mission. I think that's kind of cool. So you're going to have more control over it. So there was a game that you and I played like a while ago, and I can't remember, but it was kind of the same thing, which was an RTS, but where you were able to change your squad tactics right before your move. Oh, I just can't remember the name of the game on top of my head. But I really enjoyed that type of gameplay. So I'm looking forward to that, to see how they can implement that into this one, but keep the story mode along with it. So we'll see. I mean, and there's going to be a lot of paths which you can take too, from my understanding, just reading through the articles and such.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And then some of the other fun little announcements they had was Illusion Island, which was kind of like a platformer style game with pretty much the original cast, Goofy, Mickey, Minnie, and Donald Duck. Then they had a new return to Monkey Island. I don't know if this is a remaster or a brand new one.
There was a remastered. I know. I thought they remastered Monkey Island not too long ago, actually.
Yeah, so I think this is a new one. Like, this is a sequel or something. But, I mean, overall, still looks like a fun game. I know there's a lot of people excited about that one. I wasn't a huge fan, personally, but that's just me and my style of games.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, overall, it kind of highlights what we saw at D23. Now, some of the things that were surprising that we didn't hear about, which we saw a lot of these games that are coming out next year. Only a few of these games were coming out this year, which was...
well, they were
Midnight
supposed
Suns.
To.
Yeah, Midnight Suns is supposed to be out this year, and then a few of these other games are coming out this year.
Right.
But they're... Like, only a third of this was this year, but then a lot of this was all next year. But the things that were surprising to me that didn't get announced or shown off at all was Spider-Man 2, Insomniac Spider-Man 2, and then Wolverine. Like, two of the biggest games they announced earlier this year or last year, I believe.
It was towards the end of last year, I think.
Yeah, and we didn't hear anything about those two games, where you have some of these other games that are even further than those games out. Like, those are supposed to be out next summer. So, what's going on with those? Why are we hearing
about maybe they shelved them, man, but you never know, man.
Oh,
I mean,
doubtful.
Maybe they shelved them, man. I mean, yeah. I have no idea. But, and I will say this, though, right? I mean, due to the way that the economy's been, for one, you know, due to the way that the gaming industry in itself is just changing a lot, and because of COVID, you know, a lot of people are now starting to get back to full work blown and things like that. I can see why they're delayed. I mean, there's been movies that have been delayed. There's been, you know, video games that have been delayed. There's been, you know, delays in almost everything that has to do with our lives. So I kind of high expected these companies to go, hey, we're going to try to get it out around this time, but it's probably going to be like around here. Well, now, you know, just like what you said, Wolverine's going to be a badass game. I mean, I'm looking forward to that because I love Wolverine. I mean, if you don't like Wolverine, I just don't know what's wrong with you, but Wolverine is awesome.
If it's anything like the Spider-Man games, it's going to be great. And then even Spider-Man 2, I'm looking super forward to that because it's going to be playing off on the symbiote stuff in the game. And the last time we got to play as the symbiote stuff was like PS2 era with some of the old amazing Spider-Man games.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't wait for those. But I really wish we had gotten some news about it, even if it was, you know, the same stuff we've already heard. At least it was there, you know, like a couple different screens, something different.
Well, and maybe they wanted to kind of keep it separate, right? Because, I mean, just to kind of hype it up on its own, maybe. But who knows why they didn't decide to do it at that expo. So
yeah, it's kind of weird. It was kind of like the B-tier list of games aside of Midnight Suns, pretty much. Like, Midnight Suns and maybe Aliens Dark Descent was probably the two biggest games aside of the Dream Valley and Dreamlight Valley and the other one. And I think otherwise everything else was kind of like, you know, B-tier, AA stuff. So I don't know. I didn't really care for some of that. But
right.
Moving on. So one of our last stories of the day is Twitch is removing the host mode from Twitch.
Oh, let's get into it.
So let me pull up the article for it. Twitch announced the change on September 6th, announced a 6th update, how to use host mode, page saying opaquely that it would remove the feature based on the experience it delivers to viewers that doesn't match their expectations when they come to Twitch. And it's kind of interesting. This is coming from Ashley Bardon from Kotaku. Different people on the article are going on about, like, how is it, why are they releasing or doing this to a feature that, like, it's most covetedly used by medium to smaller streamers, right? Like, to go and highlight their friends, support them, and different things. And one of the thing that the first thing that I thought is, what happens to this mode when you lose it, but you gain rating, which rating, it currently as it stands anyway, the current implementation is you go and force all your, you know, your viewership onto one channel, and then it does a host after that, right? So
it's
what
supposed
happens,
to, yeah.
So right. So what does it do now? Just turn your channel offline and pushes everybody to a new channel, and then it just stops? Like, is that how it's supposed to be working now?
They really haven't said too much about it, right? But I will say this. You know, there's been a lot of talk over the past few years even just about the discoverability on Twitch, right? And when you host or raid another channel with your community, I mean, that just helps that streamer out that you just raided or host. And, like, auto-hosting is a great thing because, like, with me, all of my Fat B gaming people that I'm part of automatically get auto-hosted on my channel. So the problem is that still going to continue to work? That's a big question in my head. And if that's not going to work, then what's the point of being involved in this community where I can't show off my other team members or I can't host other people that I want to host? And it's just blowing my mind. It's like, why would you remove something that helps the discoverability of Twitch? Right? It's not. That's just going to ruin it more unless they're bringing something else in. But everybody knows that Twitch is just always, you know, kind of tight-lipped about every little project that they're working on, or they don't release the information, or if they do release it, it's very little information. So, I mean, I'm kind of disappointed that it's going away, Only because I've been hosted, I've been raided, and it helps. So after the raid, their page is showing my page off. So it's going to be a really, really hard thing.
Jim, thank you for the follow. Yeah, kind of going into this, like, so here, going into further information about what's changing. It says, what is changing in host mode and when is it happening? Host mode is going away October 3rd, 2022. After this date, slash host commands and the host channel stream manager quick action will no longer be available. In addition, auto host will also be changed to suggested channels in your channel settings. And they go on to, why are you deprecating host mode? Well, we introduced it back in 2014 to make it easy for streamers to give viewers another stream to watch when they went offline. Since its launch, we've learned that streamers want to share their viewers with other streamers to help them grow and have introduced features to help you do that. Clearly, like they're saying it's working, right? In that statement by itself. We made the decision to deprecate this feature because the experience it delivers to viewers doesn't match their expectations when they come to Twitch. Viewers want to interact with a streamer when they're live, and host mode blocks this from happening. No, it doesn't. Preventing viewers from interacting with a streamer they're watching also limits a streamer's growth potential because they're not able to build meaningful connections with those viewers. They do when they're live and they're pushing their content to other people, which is growth. But it's funny because they contradict themselves in it. They're saying, oh yeah, it's a great thing and streamers mm-hmm. love it and it wants to help each other grow. But then they're like, oh yeah, but it provides a negative experience for viewers. Like, but the viewer...
But the thing is right now, but the way that you host and stuff, like, I mean, the people have an option on what they want to do. Leave the channel if you don't want to watch it. No big freaking deal, right?
Yeah.
It's the same thing with raid, because when raid pops up, it says, do you want to go with the raid? No, yeah, you don't have to. If you don't, yeah, you can say, no, I don't want to go watch this in person or whatever. You know, so you can do what you want. I don't know why they're getting rid of the host. I honestly don't. It's a feature that helps out discoverability. It's a feature that makes communities. It really does. Like, it helps to make communities in between other streamers. I just don't get why they're getting rid of it. I mean, they can say this, this, and this, but show me the polls, right? I mean, because that's what I say whenever it comes to EVE Online and all. Give me the data. Show it to me that this is a legit move.
Right? Yeah, like, well, yeah, who's really complaining about this? I mean, if it's not like a non-streamer or something like that, that may be one thing, right? But that's not the whole thing. But continuing on, they're giving you another feature in place of it, which is I thought was also kind of interesting. They're like, oh, you know, we're gonna take something away, but we're gonna give you something in return too. So it says, what should I do to help support growth of other streamers once host mode is removed? As a streamer, the most effective way you can help another streamer to grow is by promoting them to your viewers when you're live. You can also endorse their channel on your offline channel page, which you currently do anyway. You actually get, like, now your auto-host stuff is, like, your recommended channels, which is also something you do on YouTube as well.
And I hate saying this. Now, you brought it up, right, with YouTube. YouTube does great on discoverability.
Oh, yeah. I mean, their discoverability is much, much higher. Now, granted, the viewership difference on the two platforms is dramatically different. However, I don't think that's going to be the case in a few years. With them opening up everything, we're being like, okay, if you're on Twitch and you're partnered or you're affiliated or whatever, you're not exclusive. So you could actually go onto some of your other platforms like TikTok and Instagram Live and stuff like that, right? You can't do Twitch and YouTube Live, which is kind of the funny, like, caveat of that. Like, why would they block, you know, tell you could do one but not the other? Like, okay, so that doesn't make any sense.
It really doesn't, but you can upload your VODs though after 24 hours up to YouTube, which helps your discoverability even more, right? Or the same thing with TikTok and all that other stuff. But anyways.
So going on to this, he says, give them a shout out to help gain more followers. Use this command slash shout out and then the channel name. Share a follow button in chat so your viewers can follow them without leaving your stream. If the streamer has a stream schedule set up to their channel, the shout out will also highlight their next scheduled stream with a button to set a reminder to watch them. Which I actually think is like that's actually kind of a cool feature. That should have been a feature they should have used a long time ago.
Yeah, but that's going to force – right, no. I mean, and all bots, though, for Twitch right now have a shout-out command.
Yeah, and this one's going to be built into Twitch, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, which I do like that. But it is going to force those smaller streamers to set a schedule, too. Because if you read it, it says if they have a schedule
– yeah, which is like probably one of the least used tools currently. So they're trying to make it more useful. Going on to the other one, it says, send your viewers to their channel at the end of your stream. Use the chat command slash raid channel to send everyone to your channel to their channel. Not only is a great way to connect and network with other streamers, you're also helping your viewers form connections with other communities. So they're really focusing, with that statement, they're really focusing on the live experience. They don't want the offline mm-hmm. experience. I think that's what they're really pushing, is to try to push. To some degree, I can see it kind of working if they do it in a way. Like, if you're going on one channel, and say, for example, you're offline, and I want to go watch your channel and watch whoever you're hosting, that creates an offline experience because you're just chatting to nobody, right? Because you're not technically watching them. I think that's where the negative part comes in, or their negative perception part comes in for that whole thing. And then you get into, like, raiding, which is, you know, which is great during your live part. So I think they're just trying to remove that dead air offline thing. That's the only thing I can see them, the reason they would do that for, which they kind of hinted at in different ways in this whole article.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they're really just trying to control the viewership in a way that it makes more sense. Like, it's more probably accurate numbers too, though, which is that is what it's going to do, right? Like, are these people actually actively watching? Are these people actively doing this, this, or this? Because if they're active, guess what that does?
Yeah,
that gives them more
viewership.
Yeah, that increases your viewership, and it also increases the monetary for Twitch itself.
Yeah, with ad revenue and whatnot. So that you actually brought up a good point. Like, it goes and it boosts overall viewership because it removes that guessing factor. So, like, now if you have a host, for example, you could have five viewers idly sitting in that person's chat while they're hosting you, but now they're not going to be doing that. So in some ways it could be positively affecting that, or some ways it could be negatively affecting that. It could be like, okay, cool, like, you're going to go and push more viewership there, but mm-hmm. is that viewership going to stay around? That's the question, right? Like, that's based on the stream. It puts a little bit more pressure on that.
Right. And I think that's going to be the hard thing, right, is to determine if people are really going to truly stay around during any type of stream or any type of raid. I mean, the question is, but how is this going to affect raids? I mean, but that's my thing too, right? Because it is going to affect raids.
Yeah,
it's going to affect raids. Right. Yeah, so now we will definitely
see that. That you, like, if somebody comes to your stream late, you're not going to see where they went, where they sent everybody to. That's the other thing too. Like, think of it on that negative end too. Like, okay, now you've raided everybody, and the host usually showed you where you sent your viewership. If a viewer happens to come in late or something, right, and misses the raid, and he comes to your channel, and it's like, okay, well, he's not there anymore. So, okay, that's it. Like, I'm not going to watch him anymore. I don't know who he hosted.
Right, exactly. And then I think that the only positive thing is that the shout out command thing that's coming in to actively in Twitch chat itself, and, you know, where you can set a reminder to go watch this person, you know, I think that's kind of cool. But without a host or raid, I mean, once again, it's just all about the discoverability, and it's just going to go downhill and turn into shit. So.
Yeah, raid at least is staying. It's just hosting that's going away, and then they're adding
another feature
in place of it. But so then the last part of it is suggest their channel to viewers when you're offline. Add them to the suggested channels list in your channel settings, formerly known as your auto host list, to endorse their channel to show who visit your channel when you're offline when their channel is live. Their stream will appear in the carousel at the top of the page. You can also display your suggested streamers list in your streamer shelf. Available September 2022. So that feature is coming later this month. So the shout out stuff is all coming here pretty soon, whereas the host mode will be leaving on October 3rd. They don't have a definitive date on it. It just says available September 2022.
Right.
So I think that's pretty interesting. It's an overall weird update, because I think that feature is good for smaller streamers, but at the same time, like, playing devil's advocate, I could kind of see what they mean by it, because they want that live experience to be more, or feel more premium, I should say.
Right. And then, but that part I get, right? And then that might actually actively fight against bots and, you know, like, fake accounts and crap like that. I mean, because there's been, like, a lot of hate streams over the past couple of years, especially with more people streaming because of COVID. I mean, so this is probably what it's for, truthfully, is to really try to potentially fight against those type of things. But we'll see. So
Yeah, it could totally be different. On that, though, I think it could be a good thing. It depends on how they really, like, lay out everything after it's done. I can see it being either really cool with the suggested channels, and also pushing maybe even the chance that they go and up that one and be like, okay, cool, like, here's your suggested shelf of streamers that you want to preview, right? And then below that, you can, like, here's your last couple VODs or whatever you, you know, recently played, or even your last stream. like your live stream plus like other VODs that it kind of continues on and give your views to, you know, some of your other content too. Like that's also ad revenue as well. So like why not, you know, bolster that even further?
Oh, dude, let's not even talk about the ad revenue changes that are happening to Twitch, okay? Because I'm so pedoed about it. But anyways,
Oh, I mean those haven't been great either.
oh my God, 3 minute ads, bro. Oh my
I
God.
know. I mean, at least you
Anyway,
could force them early on if you want, like put them during your like
that's
starting
true,
stream.
right?
Like that kind of stuff is kind of nice, so you can like avoid all of that. You know, it's there's pros and cons to it all, of course. But that is our last topic of the day. Any big final thoughts for some of the
I
stuff we
mean,
talked about today?
yeah, so final thoughts, man, for me, mobile gaming is going to be huge, guys. You know, over the next few years, it's continuing to grow, grow, and grow. The question is, will microtransactions follow with it? I think so. And then on top of that, a lot of good games coming out, you know, towards the end of the year, more in 2023. So we'll definitely be back on talking about those games. But I am looking forward to Ubisoft and Netflix working together, see how well that's going to go.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see how a lot of the Ubisoft stuff changes. I mean, I'm hoping going back on one of the original things I said earlier is like Ubisoft is not a company that we realize is as good, or we don't look forward to their stuff as much as we used to. And I hope that
Right.
changes in the future with some of the games that they're coming out with. It seems like they've kind of lost their way to some degree because they went a little too far into the whole like, okay, here's my checklist game, like open world checklist game basically. So like open world, go to this thing, complete this task, go to this world, complete this task. And it kind of turned it like trickled out into almost every game they had, right? Far Cry is nothing but that. Assassin's Creed is nothing but that. Division is less of that and more of objectives and raids and other things, which make it a little bit more interesting, I think. And then you have Siege, which is its shooter,
Yep.
like pure FPS shooter. And they've kind of had their shticks, but they've all been very, very similar. And the last few things that they've come out with new haven't quite made it. I mean, look at what is it, Hyperscape? Like that game came out and died within 2 years. I don't even think it
And
made it
I
2 years.
mean, but yeah, and that game was actually pretty decent in my opinion,
It
right?
was
But if
good.
it
It
doesn't make
just
a certain amount of money, man, it's gonna get canceled, bro.
well, I mean, the player base stopped on that one because they weren't updating that
True.
one fast enough. They weren't doing anything that was really like game changing or like wanting players to play as much. So it really kind of lost its like lackluster. I mean, same thing with the Vampire Masquerade Bloodhunt. I love that game. It's actually a super fun game, but it's the same thing. Like it's still got a dwindling player base because it can't keep that mainstream attention like everything else does. Like I mean, Fortnite does a great job. Like we've even played Fortnite quite a bit on your channel.
Dude, I really hate saying this, man, and I swore that I would never play Fortnite, but I'm actually getting addicted to it because of the no build mode right now. Like, I am playing it a lot
So
and
you're
I
playing
am
it as a
enjoying
shooter,
it.
not this like, you know, stupid build an
Yeah,
elevator.
build crap, yeah, which I can't stand the build crap, but the shooter game portion of it
It's
is
fun.
actually
It's
really good.
actually
It's
good.
fun. It is. It actually really is good. So make sure to follow us, guys, because we've been playing that a lot lately and I'm in love with it.
So thanks everybody for joining today. We're gonna be playing some Back 4 Blood here in about 10 minutes or so. We're gonna be setting up for that, and then we're gonna play some Back 4 Blood going on with your zombie crazy things. We're gonna be playing expansion 1 and an expansion 2. Or well, if we can get to expansion 2, we're gonna be playing the 2 expansions of Back 4 Blood today. If you haven't checked it out, definitely do so. And if you haven't checked us out on Twitch, definitely do so. I'll put the shoutouts here in the channel.
Yeah, there's a shout out feature you're talking about. See, we got a
Man.
bot
Exactly.
that does it for us, man. Oh,
I don't
God.
stream as much here. I'm primarily a producer here on INN, and same with Jinja, but Jinja also still streams and we'll play games on his channel a lot. But
Yeah, but we will be playing on INN tonight, so
about,
we're
give us
gonna have
about
some
10 or
fun.
15 minutes and we'll be back here playing some Back 4 Blood for your viewing pleasure. But
See ya, guys.
thanks so much for joining us, and until next time.